Yeah, we were doing a bit of a planning sesh there.
We were indeed.
5, the project.
The project. Whoa, the project. Wait. A project about 2025?
Yeah, see...
That doesn't sound safe. What have I just signed up to here?
You know, you've signed up to Project 2025. Do you know what? That's such a good name for it too. And it got sullied.
Why is that man in the blue suit having sex with my sofa? Get out! Oh, topical. Topical.
Relevant. Current.
Relevant.
Staying on top of the trends. So we were going over some things about Fantasy Faction in the coming months and looking forward to season 4, which will start after WrestleMania. Mm. And then we thought we'd just ply our creative flow to a quick 20 minutes, I suppose. But yeah, as far as Fantasy Faction goes, we've got loads planned for the next few rounds. So we've got like the Royal Rumble round, we have the Elimination Chamber round, and then we have the WrestleMania round, which promises to be, if it all comes together, the biggest round yet, with lots of different bonus games, lots of different implications, lots of Jeopardy, lots of bonus points. It'll be ridiculous. The back end work will be testing, but yeah, it'll be worth it because it'll be a really, really good round, I think. And hoping to get a few more people on board for that as well. So yeah, keep your eyes peeled for those updates.
Let's talk about Saturday night. So much to talk about from Saturday night.
So in the UK, it was Sunday morning though, right? It was Sunday morning's main event.
It was, yep. Sunday morning is all right for fighting.
Yeah, good event, wasn't it?
Oh, great event. Sometimes historically with WWE, you get told that they're doing a retro, you know, they've done it with like the old school Raws, haven't they? Like the retro Raws and stuff. And other than changing a sign and having, you know, the APA turn up and play poker in the back, it doesn't feel any different. It doesn't feel like it's actually, you know, they've actually gone to town on something. And you know what? I was satisfied. I was happy after watching that. I was I was just really chuffed. It felt good. There was plenty of nostalgia. The intro, the promo for it all. The refs in their old school kind of 80s, 90s uniforms. It felt great. Yeah. And the whole event felt like, you know, it didn't feel like a PLE. And I saw some people complaining about that. But people complained that it was like a glorified house show. It wasn't at all. Like it felt like an event still.
Yeah. Yeah.
It still felt like anything could happen. And just because every title didn't change hands, that doesn't mean it was a poor event by any means. Like the action was great, the stories were brilliant, and I liked that it was a limited runtime as well, that it wasn't a 4-hour, you know, mega beast. Yeah. It was like the matches were quick but great. I was like super, super happy with it. I loved it.
Yeah. Couple of the matches that they were quick, weren't they? And they had sort of clean finishes. Mm. But I guess those are the sort of finishes you get if you go to house shows and you see how they go. It's not always like on the Raws and the SmackDowns. You get a lot of shenanigans in matches, a lot of interferences at ringside. It can get a bit boring. So to have sort of clean finishes like that, it felt half like a house show, but half like a really, really entertaining just event. Not too overthought, but at the same time, it also like did progress stories. And I mean, with regards to the end, they definitely utilized like the social media aspect of it again.
Yeah.
To perfection.
Massively so, yeah. Yeah, that was great.
It's the WWE social media internet presence has just been on the ball for so long now, and we were talking just before about their YouTube stuff. They got in really early on that. They're 10th on YouTube subscriber lists, but with this new like using social media and using people like the fans, you know, desire to share content immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's no issue that you didn't see the Kevin Owens post show stuff on the broadcast, because you have everyone filming it for you and putting it there, and it's just so clever, and it blurs those lines just a little bit, that you can get into it and suspend your disbelief a little bit more.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Yeah, I mean, should we glaze through the results?
Yes, do you have them?
I do indeed. Yeah. What was interesting as well is that we're talking about like the short match times, and I saw like some people complain that like one match didn't get as long as another. But I mean, really, across the board, they were all relatively even. I mean, the shortest match outside of the pre-show card was like 8:05. The longest match was 12 minutes. Everything was, you know, it was a couple of minutes here or there. So it felt like a fairly well evenly spread, you know, card. I can't imagine there'd be any complaints there, but yeah. I mean, in terms of there was a dark match before, you know, at the start, Motor City Machine Guns beat A-Town Down Under. But then the card proper opened with Drew and Sammy. Absolutely loved Sammy throwing punches, like as soon as he gets in the ring, no waiting, just get straight into it. Let's just start throwing fists.
Yeah.
You know, hot start to the event. I really, really liked it. Also loved the fact that you had that really narrow entrance ramp, so all the heels were like desperately trying not to be touched. It was like, it's so good. It was really, really well done. Yeah, really good match. Ended up being plus 20 points for Drew.
Yes. Yeah. Because we put a PLE bonus on it.
Yeah. So plus 20 points for Drew in the fantasy faction, minus 10 for Sammy in that one. It felt like the right result, would you say?
Yeah. I mean, Drew's going to go on a bit of a tour now, isn't he? I think he's got his hit list almost.
Yeah.
That he wants to go for going forward. It had the right tempo. It hit the right spots. It progressed the story. Like he's beaten Sammy now, so he's safe. And that's one down. I mean, it's, people get a lot wrapped up in the time spent on matches as if more is always better. I think definitely there's still squash matches or quick matches, particularly in the women's division, that kind of irks the crowd, and it's kind of something that needs to go away. I don't know. I feel like people should have at least 5 minutes, you know, to do their stuff. But when it comes to timing, as long as the spots are hit in the match and it progresses things going forward, you can do it in 3 minutes. You could do it in 10 minutes.
Of course, that
The Brock and Goldberg, when they had their first match, it was a squash. That's what needed to happen, because that was the story was Goldberg squashes people, and then they had the, it was like a 5-minute match at Mania where they just kept hitting finishes like they had unlimited finishes.
Yeah.
Pre-match. And that hit spots, and that's all the story. That's what that match was supposed to be. Given more time, it would have sucked. So, yeah, I mean, I guess we could talk about the spots in all the other matches, but yeah, it, in that one, in the Drew Sammy one, it that was everything it needed to be. Had all the intensity, nice clean win, and yeah, Drew moves on. He'll have a good season. You should get some points in. He'll probably do well in Rumble and Chamber rounds.
Yeah, I'd have thought so. I'd have definitely thought so. Yeah, I'd be very surprised if he didn't go on a tear. One or two things are going to happen in the Rumble. Drew goes on a tear and eliminates a lot of people, or Drew gets eliminated very quickly and accelerates his breakdown. Then next up, we had Liv Morgan defeating Io for the Women's World Championship. So that was a plus 40 point haul for Liv. Minus 10 for Io. Liv, again, just on a hell of a hot streak this year. I think that put her on 60 points for round 9. Her average points per round has been 30 so far this year, 240 total for the year. And again, just really good, fun match.
Yeah, again, it had great pacing to it.
Mm-hmm.
Hard hitting. They kind of like let the reins off a bit. It wasn't, especially with Liv getting like pelted in the face.
Yeah.
So again, like, did it get less time than Drew and Sammy? This one?
It did. It had, I mean, a minute. There was a minute in it. Well, yeah.
Oh, sexist. Sexist booking.
Drew, sexist. Outrageous behavior. Yeah, Drew and Sammy had 10 minutes 5. Liv and Io had 9 minutes 5, apparently, according to Wikipedia.
So if you think about it, I mean, the match isn't the whole story. It's not always bell to bell. So there was the progression of the story afterwards where Rhea came out on the stage. So that adds minutes to the TV time of this angle. And that's like something to focus on too. So it's arguably, it was given more time than Drew and Sammy. I guess is one way to look at it positively. If we're talking about timing and all.
Sure.
Sure.
Sure, Luke. Sure. But yeah, I wonder what went through Triple H's head. Like, you sat in the back, everything's going great, and then you see Liv get smashed in the face, and you're like, please, not another injury. Like, we just had three bodies at War Games. Like, please, nobody else get hurt. Like, can we just get to Netflix? Can we get to the 6th of January without any further issues, please?
Yeah, I mean, after that one year where everybody got injured, shame for Bronson Reed. Yeah, he was just coming really into his own.
Yeah,
that was a silly spot, though. There was like a man that heavy, that high, no cushion. Those tables don't give you cushion. Oh man,
yeah, it was Edge all over again, wasn't it? Well, Adam Copeland, I should say. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Don't land on your ankles. Oh my god.
Yeah. But
yeah, again. Hopefully no more injuries. Like, you just know Punk or Rollins is gonna get injured before Netflix.
if it's either one of them, it's gonna be Punk.
It's gonna be this generation's Rock and Michaels. It's never
gonna happen.
It's Sting, Undertaker. They're gonna miss each other.
So it just won't happen. Yeah. So, and then we had Triple Threat came next. Gunther defeating Finn and Priest. So Finn and Priest again minus 10. Gunther plus 40 for his title defense at a PLE. Thoughts on this one?
Gunther's back. This was a good match. It reminded me of that finish we saw at Mania when he beat Drew and Sheamus and that finish. Gunther's got this, like, he like hulks up. It's his version of hulking up for a big finish. Yep. He just power bombs and just jumps on people. And just like he goes on this 1 minute just run where he stacks everyone up and gets the win. Yeah, I mean, this made sense. I like that it was the triple threat. I mean, the points they hit there were like Finn and Priest, obviously, like getting in each other's way still. So that gave an advantage to Gunther. And then, yeah, he went on that, just that dominant finish. So I think that was missing, or that has been missing lately. But yeah. I think we're ready to kick on with Gunther now. I think he'll have a big few months in Fantasy Faction. Might want to put him in as captain. I think he's going to have a good few title defenses.
I think so.
Going forward. Yeah.
I think so.
I can see a big gimmicky kind of match for him going forward. I'd love to see him in like a ladder match in maybe a Rumble or something. You know, because he'll go on a tear again, and then you have to kind of stack the odds up against Gunther in some particular match. I don't know. Just came to me. Ladder match.
Could be his weakness.
Yeah. Yeah, like a weak spot.
Yeah. There was an amazing stat they came out with during the event. I think it was during his entrance. 80% of his time in WWE, he's held a title.
Yeah.
80% of his time. That's ridiculous.
And he's been there for, what, 6 or 7 years, something like that?
Yeah, through NXT. Through UK and
ridiculous,
it's just absolutely insane. That win puts him on 310 points. He doesn't have a lot of matches, Gunther, so he's not going to build you. You know, he's not going to build your regular points. But when he gets wins, he's usually defending the gold. He's currently third in WWE in terms of his points. Who would you say, without looking? Okay. I can see you scrolling through. 310 points. He's second. Who do you think the two superstars are that are above him? Bear in mind the year that we've just been through or going through.
Damian Priest.
Okay.
Bron Breakker?
Damian Priest and Bron Breakker. Incorrect on both counts. Bron Breakker's on 220. Damian Priest on 270. So we've got Bianca Belair currently on 350 points. And Cody Rhodes, 540.
Oh, yeah. Tribal Combat match points and all that. Oh, yeah, of course. Do you know what? I forgot, too, because I was like, oh, Priest has cashed in his briefcase. That's a good lock. But it was the last
round.
Season.
Yeah. And we've not had big money earners like the Rumble, Elimination Chamber. You know, we've not gone through those events yet that really kind of bolster people's seasons, okay. People's rounds.
There's going to be massive points. Like through Royal Rumble eliminations and Chamber eliminations and big wins, there's going to be massive points. Yeah. Someone's going to hit 1,000.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cody. Cody probably will.
So, yeah, but really good match. Really enjoyed this one. That powerbomb on Priest, like Priest getting caught on the step, deadlifting him up, powerbombing him, and then just like mauling Finn when he got in the ring was just brilliant. And this was the one where I thought, oh, do we see Finn screw him out of the title? But again, not, you know, happy to see Gunther's reign continue.
Yeah.
And long may it. Next up, we finally got our moment. The women's US title.
Yes.
And it's Chelsea Green is the champ.
Match of the night.
Match of the night.
Moment of the night. It so this was probably the shortest match on the card, right?
Yep.
But again, the fans sort of, a lot of fans hoped it would go in this direction all along. You had a good back and forth, and then you had a great finish there. That didn't have to be a 20-minute classic. And just like judging from the crowd at the finish, like pop of the night, that's what everyone came to see. Glad that it was put on later on in the card. And the fact that it was on before the main event, I don't think took anything away from it. Chelsea Green and Matt Cardona are the new US champ.
Yes.
Great. It was a good move for the finish.
Great move. And I love her version of the Imperator is just like that extra jump she gives it to really drive him in is absolutely class. I love it so much.
It was great.
I do. I love it. I absolutely love it. And I was like really annoyed earlier to see Brian Alvarez on whatever their podcast is called, basically saying he was a little disappointed because he felt like the first women's US champion should have been like a better worker or something to that extent.
Weird.
And it's just, it was weird.
That was the people's choice.
You
don't have to overthink it. Do we need a big name? Do we need a Charlotte Flair to be the first name on the list? Because then we can talk about that name forever. Like, no, the people willed this in, and that's the great thing about wrestling. Sometimes it doesn't need to be overthought. This was the best outcome. Like, Meechin will be a great US champ. Bailey will be a great US champ. And those people will have their moments. But this one, I think this was a people's win. The worker stuff, that's a little out of pocket to say. Like, she's not a Bianca Belair, okay? She's not a Becky Lynch. She's not that kind of worker, but her character work is a huge... Like, character work is half of wrestling. That's what got her in this position, and that's what got people behind her. So that's work. So he's not sat down, Mr. Alvarez. He's not sat down and thought that one over before coming out with that opinion. I think that's quick off the draw, very silly, trying to be a contrarian. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then we had our main event. I mean, there was plenty of shenanigans going on in the Chelsea Michin match. Let's talk about it. Cody Kevin.
It went hard. A lot of good spots, like on the outside.
Yeah.
So yeah, the finish where Owens brought the chair in the ring. But then Cody ended up using it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of going back to that: is Cody a face? Is Cody?
Yes.
Bad. Is the company protecting Cody Rhodes? Mm-hmm. Is WWE just bought?
All of it.
Cody's from London. So, but I don't know. I think Kevin's right. He's got a case.
Oh, Kevin is right. Kevin's always right.
He's got a case.
He does have a case. Yeah, and then I saw somebody complaining earlier as well about the fact that the referee made the count from outside the ring.
Is that in the rule book?
I don't know.
Is that against the rules?
Just be another example of Kevin being right.
Could be. So the exciting thing about this going forward. So we got the Winged Eagle title back, and it looked glorious.
Yes.
I remember seeing it and thinking, like, oh, no, they shouldn't have let this cat out of the bag. Now, people aren't going to want to go back. Mm-hmm. Like, it just looks too good. It looks too classy. And I know you've got to sell that big WWE merch seller belt, but it looked really good. But I think WWE have found a really clever compromise, at least in the short term, because apparently with Cody being out, Kevin Owens will be defending the Winged Eagle belt because he feels he's the champion.
Oh, what? Amazing. So we're
getting the belt for a little short run.
Amazing.
Which is really, really clever. And of course,
I've just seen the poster for the live WWE live over the holidays. And Owens has taped a picture of his head over Cody Rhodes, and he's got the, and he's like photoshopped the Winged Eagle on his shoulder. Then he's put a tree in front of someone.
That's brilliant, though.
It is genius. That's so good.
So, yeah. So going forward, Cody can have a little bit of a break. We have sort of an interim champion. So he's hijacked the belt. And then it's all going to end gloriously with Cody Rhodes with the ultimate Hulk Hogan pose with both the belts. Double WWE champion of the world of everything, has all the belts. Yeah. So we'll get that nice little image and Kevin Owens will go crazy again.
Incredible. And Triple H getting like a bit of argy-bargy going.
Who is it in that poster?
It's got to be Finn, right? Randy.
It's Randy.
It's Orton, yeah.
Oh, okay. Of course it is, yeah. So Kevin Owens claims he will be defending the WWE title on the holiday tour shows. So he's the holiday champion.
He's the holiday champion.
Brilliant.
Wait. It's CM Punk.
Ooh, interesting.
It's Punk. Yeah, sorry. There's a wider poster that's got Orton on it. But no, on that one, it's Punk that he's put the tree over. Mystery solved.
So, yep, it's official. Owens is your champ for the season, for the holiday season, which begs the question, do we honor Fantasy Faction points? Are we doing title matches for Kevin's belt?
I mean, it's not an official title, is it? Maybe we need to put it to a vote within the community.
Okay. All right. We'll put it out to him. I'll put a graphic up with this episode release. We'll put a poll. I mean, yeah. It should and it shouldn't be. How can we not give the Winged Eagle titles and points? this is really cool and similar to when they brought back the $1 million title for a little bit. It's a nice little nod. Oh, what belt do we get next? Austin coming out with his smoking skull. Everyone just grab the belts. Cena gets his spinny belt. We'll just have a bit of belt off.
Well, hey, if The Rock can have the People's Championship belt that he wears around like a uninvited kid to a cosplay party. Let's all be imaginary champs.
Every imaginary title gets points in Fantasy Faction.
Yeah, absolutely. Great ending. Absolutely loved it. It just keeps everything's just bubbling away nicely, it feels like, at the minute. Like they've not ended it. They had a break between Owens and Cody, but kind of kept it going long enough to then come back. I'm so into this. And the package, using the package power driver as well, was just so good. Yeah. Cody sold it like an absolute dream. Like, it was absolutely fantastic. Does make me wonder whether a certain rumored debutante that was teased potentially on Monday Night Raw might have something to say about said package power driver being used, as he was he was fond of using it, certainly on the ring apron. But what about Penta?
I mean, that got me thinking. I mean, if Cody and Randy Orton get such injuries off of a couple of power drivers, how tough are those AEW guys taking all those power drivers all the time?
Oh, yeah.
Getting up again. Like, the toughest of the tough.
Taking seven in a match.
Seemingly. Yeah. Those are the real tough guys.
That's what cocaine does for you. Keeps you going through thick and thin.
These WWE guys and the weak necks.
Too soon.
Too soon.
Hey, we love wrestling of all types. We do. Here at Fantasy Faction. That's because it all goes towards the scores.
Just one pay-per-view left, so it's going to be favoring the people who are AEW heavy. So we've got AEW World's End on the 28th, and that'll round off that round. And then you'll have a couple of days to draft more people in.
Nice.
And then we get into the real meaty season, the mini season of it all. So we'll keep people updated on what those rounds will mean. We've started to put out the rules and stuff for the next round, the Royal Rumble. So mm-hmm. It's getting prepped for that Rumble season. See who you want to draft in. And then yeah, we'll soon, over the coming weeks, tell you about the WrestleMania round, which promises to be the biggest one yet, with just
insane
amount of games and points and Jeopardies and Vegas-themed stuff.
Love it.
Can't wait. We're going to have to not get a job for a while and just stick to the spreadsheets. We should mention we are putting together something where pretty soon all factions will be able to see their scores and their teams specifically, mm-hmm. Which wrestlers are scoring which points from week to week. It'll also be a means to check up on the scoring. So if you're ever wondering how many points you get and for what, there'll be explanations on there. So just something a little more interactive so you can see what's sort of going on behind the scenes too, while we work on future developments. So keep your eyes peeled. That'll be coming quite soon.
Yes, indeed.
Is that it then?
I think that's it. I think
that's it.
Off we go into the Jingle Bell Night to stuff our faces with turkey. Some of us doing it for the second time in a couple of weeks, because you Americans can't get enough of your turkey days this time of year.
Oh, yeah, love them. Love them. Also, yeah, real quick before we go, we've heard the outcries about why the Wrestlers and the Nerds Nikolai from Denmark does so well in the Fantasy Faction, cleans up a lot of rounds. We will be addressing these concerns soon. We won't say much more, but we will have Nikolai answer some questions for us about his tactics and strategies when it comes to this here game.
We can't make comments about ongoing open investigations, but Nikolai, the Danish heel, we're coming for you.